And of course, I mentioned a lot of this last time in our teaching on the first one of this. But faith comes by hearing, reading God's word. And what is influencing your hearing and reading? And that is the question. What influences me? Well, it doesn't take a lot of discernment, because we're often hindered, we're often sometimes attacked. And many times the nature of those attacks are to stop us from hearing God. The enemy attacks us to stop hearing, because every time we hear, it builds our faith up that pleases God. So Satan knows, sadly, a lot of believing, professing Christians are not aware of that principle. But that is what it is. So a lot of your attacks, a lot of the hindrances in the mind, is stopping us from hearing the word of God. Because we know the divine principle set here, it comes by hearing, by reading the word of God. It's seed sown. Or the preaching of the word. That's why God, of course, sets the gifts into the church. And so we need to discern, with the preaching, teaching of the word, is it anointed or is it the wisdom of the world? Which just motivates pride, emotions, feelings. And sadly, we are living in an age and generation where so much of that man's wisdom, made to sound spiritual, but all it actually does, it's not really building faith, it's ministering to the flesh, to the pride, to the emotions. And that's why they hunger, they almost lust, if you like, for an emotional feeling in their gathering together and their worship. They thrive for that buzz, that feeling. It's a spiritual form of taking drugs, in many ways. But we know that isn't going to last. It doesn't. Because it's man's wisdom. It's the world. And that's how the world is motivated. If you want that emotion and feeling, just go to the theatre. Go to see a production. Or whatever it is. That'll give you what you want. But no man says, oh, we've got to spiritualize that. We've got to mention the name of Jesus. And if you mention the name of Jesus, well, then we're all Christian, aren't we? Oh, I wish it was easy like that. Make my job a lot easier, but I'm afraid it ain't. At all. God has to do a complete work. We're a miracle here today.
Amen.
We are.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is a miracle.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we know we wouldn't be here otherwise. So, you know, it's such a work that God's doing with us. And you see, unbelief will always seek an alternative. And that's why, you know, it's deceiving. And man's wisdom will always get you to compromise. Man's wisdom will always get you to patch it up. Man's wisdom will always find, well, there's an alternative. You don't have to go through that or whatever it is, you know. And God's drawing us away from alternatives. God's drawing us away from a patched up job.
Thank you, Lord.
You hear it in politics. You hear it everywhere. They're all bodging up. They're all patching it up. They're trying to patch up the economies. Crazy. It's on a one-way collision. Everything is. Who wants to put one's trust in any of that? God's opened our eyes. He's made us new creations. We're not for that anymore. We're a new creation, not for this dying world anymore. Our place is in heaven with the Lord. We're set for the throne of God. Hallelujah. And so you see, the nature of walking by faith, as I said last week, totally by faith, means that you throw yourself completely on God and on his word. That's what ultimately he's doing. He's throwing us completely on all these promises that are yes and amen. And we've heard that a million times in this assembly. But that's how he's doing it. And how is he throwing us onto the word, onto his love, his faithfulness? Yes, you blurted out. Your trials. And your trials are mountains. And those mountains say, there's no way we can get through this in the natural. I cannot see anything. It's absolutely hopeless. That mountain is so big, it will take a miracle. And if you are in that situation, particularly at the moment, praise God.
Yes.
That is a sign God loves you. It is a sign God's hand is on you. He has put you in an impossible situation to reveal what he can and he will do. And it is a deliverance. It is delivering us from fear. What it's doing, and we're all speaking about this. You know the buzzword at the moment that's going around this assembly? Need to be a pastor for this. Let go. That's the buzzword. We're all in situations. We're all talking the same thing. Here it is, verse 10. We're letting go. What's the point holding on? Because there's nothing to hold on to anyway. What is there to hold on? It's a mess. So why hold on to it? Let it go. Leave it at the foot of the cross and just look to Jesus. And faith will know what to do. If faith says, today you speak to that mountain, faith will do it. If faith says, act your faith in accordance to what faith says, faith will do it. Faith is a revelation. It's the word of God. It's God's heart to you. Faith, if you like, is what God is saying to you today to act upon. You cannot act faith unless the faith is there that's acting in and through you. And that is why we have to let go, and that is why we yield to the Spirit, the cross, the dying, which is the deeper life, the cross. Now listen to this. We've always just looked to the cross. Yes, I must die to this and whatever it is. We do. But you know what that dying is about? It's dying so that faith in you can act. It's getting you and me out of the way. Faith has never needed your support, your ideas, your thinking. Faith certainly doesn't need your anxieties, your fears, your frustrations, your anger and everything. I know, I've gone through it all. We feel all these emotions. God doesn't love me anymore. He's forsaken me. How could he do this to me? He's supposed to be a God of love and everything. And it's all rumbling away inside. It's a hindrance to our faith. And what does he do? He gets us back to the cross. He gets us back focused on Jesus. This is why I'm always saying, focus every day on Jesus. Talk to him. Open yourself up to him. Wait on him. And you will see that this does work. We're all still at times too religious. I do say to you, a prayer life is essential. But what is a prayer life? Prayer life is talking to Jesus. Or is it not? Sometimes how we've got this spiritual idea that on your knees for 2 hours, intercession, warfare, you know, this is the time for the Lord. If that is to be, then the Holy Spirit will lead you to do that. But ultimately, my time with the Lord is talking with my Maker and Creator, whose name is Jesus. It's quite simple. Quite simple. And that is why we stay with all of this. The deeper life, as we know, is enduring. It is staying with it. It's coming together, getting under the word, allowing the Holy Spirit to do. You know, we've all been in it now some years, some touching 40, but it's still enduring to the end. You see, that's the point. So, the very fact we're here, the very fact that we're still meeting, says to me, faith is working. It's there. Because it's God that's doing it. You know, Hebrews speaks about this rest of faith, entering that rest. That rest is knowing the one who lives in you. The one who's taken over. The one who's come, the paraclete. The one who's come to take over in your life so that you no longer take the burden, the weight. It means that you now put your weight on him. You see? If you don't understand what I mean, this is what it means. Now, I had no problem doing that because I knew this was going to hold me. See? That's what it's about. It's putting my weight, relying everything on Jesus. You see? And it was so simple, I did it immediately. Because, you see, I knew this would work. It would hold me, you see. How much more Jesus, who's the rock, the foundation. You see? And that is what he's doing. He's making it that simple for us. Don't complicate it, brothers and sisters. Listen to the devil and he'll complicate it every time. So when we refer to faith coming by hearing, reading, it's coming by revelation. It's revelation in the heart. And it's based on our relationship with God, obedience, and a right heart. Now, of course, these are godly affections that God has to work with us. We preach much about obedience because we know we're not very obedient in the flesh and the natural. But he works that and will work that because ultimately that is what pleases him. The surrendering of my will is what pleases God. And it is the thing that I grapple with the most. So God has chosen the hardest thing in man, what the fall has done, sin has done, in which he wants from us obedience. But of course, that was the test, wasn't it, in the Garden of Eden, you see. So it's the very thing that he's working, that he wants of me. It is the hardest thing, naturally speaking, I can do. I willingly want to offer up my will. I want to be obedient, willing, but to do it is completely another thing. And therefore we have to draw from the life of God that's in us, the life of Christ, in order to do that. And he's working that. But I believe God is simplifying our faith as we mature in the faith, in sonship. And this, I believe, is based on Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11. And verse 28. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is the key word to that? What is the key word? He simply says, come. Come. Come now. Come before me. Let's talk. Let's agree. What's going on? I'm right here. I'm ready to listen. And after you've said what you want to say, then we have to be humble enough and polite enough to then listen to what he says. You see, we're not very good at listening, and you know, you've only got to look at this generation. They want to tell you everything, but you try and tell them, you know, well, who are you? You know, that's the attitude today. But you know, we do that before God. We come and we can't wait to get it out before him. You know, this is happening and this has gone wrong and I'm hurting. Why did this happen and everything? You know, yes, share. But don't stop there. Then wait and let him speak. And that is our problem. And this is why we get upset. And this is why we're not always in faith, because I've not allowed God to speak. Now, God is sovereign, and he's going to speak when he wants to speak. He might show everything straight off, or he might show it in seasons. He has numerous ways in which he's going to speak. We know often he speaks through the ministry of the word. So we know that there are diverse ways in which God speaks, but ultimately we need to hear what he has to say with regard to my requests, my needs, those things, and so on. And he will speak. And sometimes we don't like to hear what he has to say, because sometimes he might require and say, right, for me to do that, you need to give up that. Or that is a hindrance. That is actually stopping you from receiving. Wow, I never thought that. You know, boy, you've opened my eyes. You know, it is humbling, but then when God shows you, this somehow is spiritually, that is, spiritually, makes sense. I'm not talking of the wisdom well that makes sense. It somehow spiritually makes sense. Think, yes, I can see that now. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. But all he says there is, come. He says, come those who are labouring, those who are heavy, those who are drawn down, those who just need rest. Just come. Set yourself apart and come. But you see, anxiety, fear, striving, all those oppressions, and they're often spirits, they're demons, they so war against the members that they hinder you from hearing those simple words our Lord is saying, come. And you, until we get to the end of ourselves, the end of our tether, then we hear him. And he'd been saying it all along. In fact, as your trial started, when you begin to see something happening, whatever it is, the words were saying, come, come to me. That's what he's saying. See, a child can understand that. This is why God is simplifying our faith. You may say to me, "Ah, but Pastor, what about the five principles of faith that we've learnt over the years in Deeper Life?" Absolutely. We have to start somewhere, don't we? When children start in education, they have to start somewhere. They have to start with some book, the right book or whatever it is. Well, we've got the best book, the Bible. But we have to start somewhere. It's called growing up. And a lot of people, sadly, haven't moved on because they've held to five principles of faith and that's how it's going to be. And they can't see that God builds on revelation. And we've got people today around who won't listen to what the Deeper Life has produced and is producing over the years. They will dismiss it because you don't say the same thing. It doesn't sound like how Faith Assembly preached it, and it doesn't come out. It's not the same spirit and so on. There are people around who are held like that. Sad. Because they don't want to grow up. And do you know what stops that? Fear. They're gripped by fear, these people. And they can't see it. And so if you've got a lot of fear that's held like that, you will never get true love, unity and fellowship, because it hinders it. It hinders it. I mentioned about a childlike faith. I love to see children when they get together. They're actually quite interesting. They haven't got these hindrances that we take on as we get older. Now, of course, children can be spiteful. They can be cruel in what they say or whatever it is. But the way they react, the way they get on, these little toddlers we get together, their way of communication is so simple. It's not complicated, you know? They might stand and look at one another, or they might laugh at one another. You know, they may share their toys, or you may find one who doesn't want to share their toys. Various ways. They're interesting to watch. But they don't have these hang-ups, these hindrances. One thing that children, little children that come together, one thing they don't have, as far as I'm aware, unless you can correct me, they're not critical towards one another. They don't think critically. So who puts that in our minds as we get older? Huh? Where do we pick all that up from? God's delivering us, you see, so that we have that simple, childlike faith. Children, you know, they're uncomplicated in many ways. It's interesting. It's interesting. But God is working this. He's working this simple faith within us. And it's on the basis of simply come. Come to the Lord. And we can come to him as much as we want. He never sort of says, well, I'm going to be out today, but you better come tomorrow, you know, like we are. Look, he's always there. Always there. Thank God that he is. And this is the test of our faith, you see. Because we come and we hear what he says. And that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing what he says, not what you say. And so we're so busy telling God what we think faith is, and what my faith needs, and I haven't got faith, or whatever it is. We're not hearing that Brig gives us faith. Some people can hear the word of God. Ah, yes, Pastor, but you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I went through this week. I hear what you're saying, but, you know, some of that. They can't hear. Because they're too busy talking. They've got this idea of what they think faith is. We don't know what faith is. We don't even know what it is. It's until God shows. On the basis, come. As simple as that. That's how Jesus walked with his Heavenly Father. Very simple. Mm-hmm. And so you see, this tells us where we are in the faith. That one simple word in Matthew 11:28. That tells you where you are. Sometimes God uses the most simplest, profound bits of scripture, doesn't he, in the Bible. That word, come to me. And that's going to tell you where you are walking with God. And you are in the faith.
Amen.
And in every area where we hinder or avoid, we are not real and sincere, because we hinder our faith. That's why we would rather go through sorrow and pain and anguish and rejection and poor old me. You don't know what life I've had, what I've come out from, and this and that and everything. People who talk like that, and sadly there are Christians who talk like that, they know nothing of that simple word that says, come. Well, if that is the case, come. Let's talk. And some don't want to be delivered. That's the tragedy. We've seen it in our circles. Yeah. They would sooner walk in sorrow, misery, pain, than get delivered. That's why, you see, we think at times he's requiring some great event of sacrifice. But what he's really saying is just as simply come. See, faith to work must come to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will highlight why it's not happening. And on that simple word, come, if things are not happening, then the Holy Spirit has come to highlight why it's not happening. Maybe today, hearing this word, You're hearing some things and thinking, now I'm beginning to see now why things are not happening. Now, how are you knowing that? Because the Holy Spirit is highlighting that. Because he loves us. That's why the Spirit of truth has come to teach and lead and guide us. And much of his ministry is to remove hindrances to our faith, if you did but know it. As he's doing right now. And that's why he will search out that one main area, if you let him. And sometimes you think, surely it can't be that. Surely, never, can't be. Is that one main area. But that's what's hindering. That's what's stopping you from coming. That's what's hindering you from believing. That's why, brothers and sisters, lay your life bare before him. That's all we can do. That's how we can come before him. And let him do it. And he will do it because he started that work, he's going to complete, he's going to finish it. You think about it, how many times have you asked God, thinking it was faith, and you've gone away with nothing? Make a list of what you thought was faith, and you've gone away as nothing. I'm going to tell you something, you need to be honest now. It's going to be quite a big list. I thought about it. I thought, my goodness me, Lord, what are you saying? Well, I thought it was faith, whatever, and I've gone away. Nothing. Nothing. And you think, well, does this work? You know, where are we going wrong or whatever it is? God hasn't gone wrong. He's not gone wrong. Not at all. No, it does work, my friends. It's on the basis, simply come. You see, we try and work it out, don't we, intellectually. But all he is saying is just come into my presence. It's like holding someone's hand. God is often putting his hand out for fellowship. That's the understanding, isn't it? This is why we embrace or shake hands. It's a sign of fellowship. It's a sign of acceptance and so forth. God's constantly doing that so that we can come before him, so that we get it right, so that God answers our prayers, our faith. It's not that hit and miss that it used to be in the past. It's an assurance. Faith is an assurance. You see, our faith is always going to be challenged by the world and its ways. We have to accept that. It's no good getting angry. It's how God has decreed it, and he's got a purpose and a reason for that, so that the world can see that we are people who walk by faith. Because the world tries to throw its intellectualism, its ideas, its power, its pride. It tries to throw it and challenge faith. Our faith is challenged by this world that says you can't walk that way. It's impossible. And it's all about God's glory. Who is the God of this world till Jesus comes finally? Satan. And what is the warfare against? God and Satan. And Satan challenges God through our faith. That's how he does it. Job, classic example. It's what he's doing. He's been doing it right now. He's been doing it this week through your life. And God's removing all of that. God showing they are men and women after my heart who walk by faith.
Praise the Lord.
How many times have you said to yourself, it's going to work this time? Oh, praise God. It's going to work this time. I mean, it really is. You know? I've done everything. I've confessed it. Warfare. All the whole lot and everything. And then it starts. Oh, what's gone wrong? What's gone wrong, you know? And you're battling. You're trying to hold on, you know? And you find yourself just going up and down, and the storm gets worse and everything, and in the end you just said, I've missed it, and so forth. How many times we've gone through that? Of course we have. We're all smiling and laughing and everything. But do you know something, brothers and sisters? God has said to me, that's coming to an end. He's been using that to get our attention. He's been using these failures to get our attention. He's brought us to the end of ourselves because we're fed up in the natural. See? And he knows. He's allowed that to happen. But praise God, we're still in. We're still here. We're still gathering together. So there's something working. There must be something I'm getting right. But he's doing it, brothers and sisters. And he's bringing us to the end of ourselves. Sometimes we find it doesn't work because we're too busy, we're making other plans, or we get in the way, or it doesn't fit in with our ordered lives. We've got to allow God to uncomplicate our lives. We really have. He'll do it. If this has got to work, this has got to work. It's just letting go. Let God plan. Let God move us. You know, it's like the air, the wind outside, the wind moves where it wants to go. It's not hindered by anything. And if something's there in the way, it'll go around it or whatever it is, or over it. And it's the same with us. Our lives have got to become uncomplicated. I've been tested this week on this. I've been asked to, if I will put myself for chairman for Woking Society of Artists, when it next comes up, we need you as the leader for this group. We'll vote you on, and so forth. And probably I could put some things right, but sadly, times are going wrong. I thought, no, stand back, draw aside, cannot get involved. Because I know what it'll be. It's committee meetings, a phone will be ringing, this got to be done, that's got to be done. I know because I've talked to people and everything, and it's a huge society. I mean, you're looking at nearly 300 people you've got to deal with. Yes, it's nice to the ego, lovely that you're thought and asked to be able to take on such a responsibility, but no. Because my life has got to be uncomplicated. If faith is to work, it's to flow and move. I've got to move with God, you see. And he's working that one with us. All of us. That's why Jesus is working the faith. He walked by it. You see, we still think that we have to help him with our faith. But our problem is we have to agree with him. Not help him. There's the difference. Come now, let us agree. See? But Israel wouldn't because they thought he needed help. They wanted to do it their way. You see? It's so simple, really. And that's why we've got to agree with self, we've got to agree with sin, we've got to agree with the cross, we've got to agree. I believe I've spoken everything that the Lord wants me to speak today. It's up to you whether you want to agree with it or not. I've settled that I want to agree with it. So I make myself then available for God to start to work it in and through me. Because I know I can't work in the natural. I know there's some things I'd much prefer to do. Absolutely. But I know in my heart what is right, what is needful. You see, the affection is there. It has to be there. Even if there's going to be a battle, yes, I might, you know, find it difficult. But that word, whatever God's requiring of each of us, which seems like a sacrifice, is simply going to be, come. Just come. Just wait. Come before me. Speak. And then I will touch you. And I will deal with all the complexity. I will deal with all that looks impossible. I will deal with everything, or what the enemy's saying, or what they're doing at work, or the boss, or whatever it is. I'll deal with it. And boy, when he deals with it, he does. Absolutely. And brothers and sisters, as I close with this now, I truly am having to practice what I preach here with regard to this litigation thing that I've been going through. I have had to literally let go of the whole thing. Even to the lies that are said, and you're the criminal, how it appears, and so on. Let go. Because God will vindicate. God will glorify his name. God has allowed it for a reason. It's too big what God allows. We don't see the picture straight away. But as I always say, whatever you're going through, whatever your trials, whether individually or corporately, I can tell you something. You're looking at what is there or what you're believing for. But I can tell you something. The picture's going to be a lot bigger. A lot bigger. When God's finished. Why? Because we serve infinite God.
Amen.
No beginning, no end. You know, your faith is not just about you or your trial. And yes, it's about it's much, much bigger. Yeah. It's affecting lives. It's about evangelization. It's about lives being saved.
Yeah.
Your faith, your testimony, the manifestations to your faith is redemptive in nature. Because the church is to evangelize, is to be a light to the world. And that's why we got it all so wrong. Because we're witnesses. We're witnesses to God's love. You're a witness because God's faith, the faith that God has put in your heart is a witness to the world. And that's why so often you don't have to say a lot. Just where you are, just yielding to the Spirit, that will do it. And seeds sown into hearts for salvation will take place. This is why I say, when we make it into the kingdom of God, we're going to be very surprised who's going to be there. But one thing that you will see is your obedience, your walking by faith, you will see what has been produced as a result of that. And you will see many lives that otherwise would not have been saved, who are saved because of your walk and faith. We are lights in this world of darkness. You see? And this is why tragically so much evangelism has gone wrong, because man's trying to organize it. He's trying to do it in the flesh, in man's wisdom. God's got a way of which he does it. God will use you maybe just to ignite a flame in which a revival can take place. That's all he needs. As we just empty ourselves, that death to the self-life, just getting out of the way and just come, just go to God and walk with him and let the life of Christ reach out through each of us, touching this dying world. Amen. Amen. Father, again today, thank you for your words of life and comfort. Oh, it's like ointment into a balm. Lord, we've all been battered and wounded. We all feel shipwrecked at times. Just feel we can't go on. Just the storm is just too great. But Lord, all you've said today, just come. The same as you said to Peter when he walked out on the water. Come. He was showing a real principle there, Father, and you're showing us the same as well. That word come simply is an indication that we walk supernaturally on water. Mm. Father, I'm excited about this. I'm encouraged by this, Lord. But Father, forgive us, Lord, that it's taken so long, that we can be so short-sighted. But Lord, we think that our walk of faith is stuffing our heads all the time with theology. It isn't, Father. It's as we graze, it's as we eat what you put before us, Father, that sustains and gives us life. And so, Father, I thank you today for our fellowship. I thank you that you've been in the midst of us. You have been touching our lives. Thank you, Father, for the saints who've come into the room. I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of them till we assemble again in Jesus' name.